I think most of us at least are looking forward to what God has in store for us this evening. So this evening we will be talking about worship, and specifically family and individual worship, or devotions as we sometimes call it. And so this will be a fairly informal, possibly a bit unstructured evening, and hopefully that means that the Spirit will be moving, and so we look forward to that. I have broken this evening up into three parts. The first and the last section will be us taking a step back and asking broad questions. And the middle part will be zooming in a bit more and getting feedback from the brothers here, as well as all of you, on certain practices that we have found helpful in both individual and family worship times. So let's begin with prayer. Lord, we come before you as your children, a small part of the body of Christ, and we count it a privilege to be able to gather in your name and talk about this important part of our Christian lives. You have given this community a lot of strength, and we believe that a lot of that is through the practices, the habits of worship that this congregation has made a part of life. And we thank you for that, and we ask that your Spirit would move among us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we will begin by backing up a little bit and asking some broad questions. So whenever we talk about certain aspects of our lives, it's often good to ask why questions. And so that's what we're going to start off with this evening. And of course, we need to start somewhere with some basic assumption. And so the assumption that I'm making, starting off with this evening, is that we all consider worship, individual and family worship, important. And so the question that we would like to start off with is, why is family worship and individual worship important? So I think I will pass this off to Titus. So if you could address that first question.
Well, am I coming through all right? Okay. My mind went through a verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our God. It is in worship that we seek God, we seek His Word, and we're changed. And that's what the purpose is of worship and spending time with Him.
Very good. Any comments from any of you all? Harvey, would you like to say something?
Yes. I think it's important that we set aside a certain part of the day. For myself, usually first thing in the morning, I'm usually not a very early riser, but that's usually the first thing I do in the morning is spend time in the Word. And that is something that was taught in our home or was done in our home from as early from my earliest memories, and so yes, it is important that we take time every day and connect with God and ask Him to supply our needs and give Him first place in our life.
Thank you, Harvey. So I think what we've established so far is that worship, individual and family worship, grows us into the image of Christ, and it establishes healthy patterns of worship in our lives. Thank you, brothers, for that. And the next question, I think I will divert to you, Johnny. How does both individual and family worship contribute to the life of the church?
How does personal and family worship contribute to the life of the church? Well, there's the, I guess there's kind of the cliche that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And I think that's important for the church. I think our church is a strong church. I think the reason we thrive, or at least I see us thriving in a lot of ways, is because people are thriving in their personal lives. And I think that's affecting our church. And if families and if individuals are focusing on things like missions in their own lives, intercessory prayer, and worship, when you bring that all together at the end of the week, you have a whole body that is focused on mission and worship, and helping those even in our own congregation that are lost. And so I think, I don't know if that answers the question, but I think it's hugely important to the life of the church.
Very good. Thank you, Johnny. Do either of you want to contribute to that question? Okay. Yeah, so the question is, how does individual and family worship contribute to the life of Center?
Yes. Well, we know that we as a church are made up of families, and I think as the church is no stronger than the families that come to the church. And I think as we spend time daily in the Word and become acquainted with the Word and then come together, then it's somewhat of a bringing together what we have each experienced, whether it's in a formal way or whether we do it intentionally, but I think it definitely makes a difference. I think if we would just imagine the opposite, what if we'd have a church that wouldn't study the Bible on an individual basis, what kind of a church would we have?
Good thoughts, thank you. I think I will extend this question, open it up to all of you, the rest of the congregation. So Jordan has the mic back there. Is there anybody who wants to speak into either of these questions? Why is individual and family worship important, and how does it contribute to the life here at Center?
On the first question, I think of the tithe that God, for sure, in the Old Testament asked for a specific percentage that was His, not ours. But I don't think it was ever His intent that once that had been given, then the rest is mine. I can do with it what I will. Likewise, we're called to a life of worship, but setting aside a part of the day as a special time, a concentrated, a devoted time of worship, I think, helps set the stage for living a life of worship. On the second question, my mind went to the verse that we all, as lively stones or living stones, are built up in habitation for the Spirit. And so, as Johnny alluded to with the chain and the link, the habitation is as strong, is as beautiful, is as sound as the living stones that make it up.
Just recently started reading the book by Dallas Willard called The Spirit of the Disciplines. And here, I think, is a nice little summary from a quote that I think summarizes well the foreword of the book, which is about as far as I've gotten. The world can no longer... The world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. He says, by the way, he says that the problem of the world is a spiritual problem, and therefore the solution has to be a spiritual solution. That's what he's going to. The world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. They have done the best they could, no doubt, but this is an age for spiritual heroes, a time for men and women to be heroic in their faith and in spiritual character and power. And I think that you said, you talked about personal family worship being important to the church. I think it's important to the world. It is as we develop our spirituality, as we develop holiness, personal holiness, that we have something to offer to the world. And I think an awful lot of that happens in our personal and family and corporate communion with God.
Well, thank you all for your contributions to those two questions. I think we'll move on now to asking the question, what is the goal in both family and individual worship? So we've talked about why we think it's important to establish these practices of worship, and we've talked about how it contributes to the life of center. And as Arlen brought up, how we heal the brokenness in the world through holiness. So now let's shift a bit and address the question of what the goal is of personal and family worship. And in a minute, I'll direct this question to Titus. But I came up with at least three possibilities, and there may be more, but I'll just throw these out for you all to think about. So one possibility is that these practices of worship are to give us information about God's work in the world and about his word. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that we do these things to form habits of worship. These disciplines, they're disciplines that help us form holiness. Or third, another possibility is that they shape our desires and our loves. So after saying that, I think I'll pass this question on to Titus.
Well, I think you kind of answered the question. The goal of worship is becoming like Jesus, and studying the Word is what brings us in communication with Him. And I don't have any more on that. But the disciplines of worship are, and studying the Word are important to becoming like him.
Good.
This doesn't answer the question directly, but I think that when we spend time with God, there's something that happens in our spirits, and there's something that happens in the spiritual world that we don't necessarily always understand. When we dedicate a certain part of our day to interacting with God and hearing from God, praying for those we love, digging into his word, whatever your worship entails, I think there's something that happens that we don't always realize. And I say this because recently I've been making more of an effort to do some of that. Since the beginning of the year, I've tried to put more focus on this time of my day, and I've experienced some pushback that feels spiritual. And so I say that to I don't know what all that is. I can't give some specifics really, and yet I think there are things that happen that we don't always quite understand or quite see when we give time to God in that way.
And now I'll pass the question on to all of you. What is the goal of individual and family worship? What do you all have to contribute?
I think something happened when Adam and Eve fell. And before they fell, they had an open relationship with God. They could talk with him. There was no problems. There was no disconnect. So I think I'd like to propose that one of the reasons for having time with God every day is to regain some of what was lost. And I'd like to propose, too, that my devotional life is to prepare me for heaven. I think the goal is not only to get there, but also to be... I just think the man who... I'm looking at Harvey up there. I'm thinking someone who has it maintains a life with God is going to be at a different place when he gets to heaven than someone who barely gets inside the door. So I propose that it's to prepare us for heaven and to regain what we lost.
As Karen and I figured out how to kind of establish a family devotions that's appropriate for children, I started becoming increasingly aware of the usefulness of individual worship times, individual and family worship times, in simply orienting ourselves in God's story of the world too. So part of it is just remembering the stories of what God has done and realizing where we are in the story and where we fit in and what God is doing in the world. So it can be a time to orient oneself, I think.
Thinking especially of family worship, I think one of the things that does is it puts, and I'm losing my framework of the question, I think, but it puts the parents' faith priorities on display for the children. And as well as starting to establish patterns for the children, but it's an open expression. Besides just what children are told throughout the day, it's a time set apart where they see that this is really important, and at the same time get an opportunity to participate and to start learning some of those things themselves.
Might just quick add one tidbit. I think there's a tendency when we have family devotions, that's the time to talk about God. But when we go throughout the day, we almost don't hear about it. And I at least idealize that the devotion, similarly to tithes, it represents that all of it is God's. And so we have the devotion to somehow facilitate the continued conversation throughout the day.
Tim had his hand up here.
Well, I agree with a lot of all of what's being said. I think personal time of worship shapes us profoundly. But I wonder, I want to just point out another aspect of it, and that is that worship is, that the goal of worship is largely to benefit the person who's being worshiped. It's to bless God's heart. And so, yes, we are shaped through worship, and in some ways that's a large part of the goal, but it feels in part important to me that we worship God for his sake, that we bless, we come into times of personal and family worship with the goal of blessing God's heart.
Acquainted with the hymns of the church, I've been captivated by this little a quote on the title page by William Temple, and when I get my spiritual disciplines down better, I'll memorize it. In the meantime, I'll read it. The goal of worship, William Temple says, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God.
This is building on what Johnny said, that he thinks something happens when we spend time with the Lord. Doesn't quite know how that happens. And reminds me of the verse that Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I used to struggle a lot because I didn't see rivers of living water. And then I saw, well, that's not what it says. My part is to believe. And I think maybe that's what you're feeling. So I think worship helps us to abide, to believe, to trust that God can do his work as well, which we may not see.
Let's have one more, Brian, back there, then we'll move on.
I was pondering some similar thoughts to what Tim shared, and I am affirming both of what we heard, that worship shapes us and that worship is for God's benefit and God's glory. And the two are the two complement each other. And I think in the recent sermon on worship, those were tied together well in God's glory shining brightest in our deepest enjoyment of him. And similarly, as we gaze on that glory and are shaped into the life of Jesus, then that glory is reflected to the world in ways that it isn't if we're not shaped into Jesus. And so I think it's both and I think worship does both of those together.
Thank you all for those contributions. So let's move on to the second section, where we talk about practices, specific practices that we have found helpful or that we have established in individual and family worship times. Harvey, I think I'd like to give this question to you, this next question, regarding prayer. And the question is, what are methods of prayer that you have found helpful for yourself?
I guess I'm not quite sure what you're asking me, but...
Sure. So maybe I should ask it a different way. Let me ask it this way. Are there resources that you have found helpful in your prayer life, such as a prayer book or something similar to that, that has helped you, that has guided your prayer life?
Yes, well, I guess I would respond to that like this. I grew up in a home where my My dad would pray a formal prayer, and as we grew older, we learned we came away from that, and I don't know. I have a list that every day of the week I will focus on certain parts of our church functions and for family and so forth. I think it helps to have a list. I don't know that I've got a book necessarily that helps me, but I think it's helped me to stay focused when I have a certain day of the week that I will focus on certain parts of my family the ministers and whatever. So I have tried to find a meaningful way to intercede and to pray for those that I come in contact with.
Thank you, Harvey. This next question I'll give to you, Johnny. And this goes a bit back to what Dwight mentioned about the need to be worshiping throughout the day. So, Johnny, the question is, how have you found, or let me say it this way, what are things that you have found helpful for praying throughout the day rather than just at a specific time each day?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure if I know how to answer that. How do I say this? I like to try to look for times. I don't do nearly as well with this as I would like, but look for times throughout the day where I'm by myself. I have approximately a 14-minute commute. Especially early in the mornings when the sun is rising, it's a perfect time to just sit in silence. Recently I've tried to pray while I drive. That's not something I've done very well with. But to look for things throughout the day, I think it's important for us to just keep our eyes open to keep our ears open to the things we hear. We process a lot of information in a day's time, and a lot of that information can be pretty negative. And so for that reason, I guess maybe prayer, we should remember when we're learning things, when we're hearing facts or current events, to remember those as, I guess, prompts to pray for what's happening, as well as ways for us to deal with some of the issues we come in contact with. So I don't feel like that's a really good answer, because I don't feel like I've done particularly well with that, but maybe those are more my ideals than my experiences.
Titus, would you have anything to add to this?
Well, I'm not very used to this thing yet. Well, one thing that I enjoy is praying scripture prayers. If you look at the things that the Apostle Paul, for example, prays for the people he's praying for, sometimes when I don't know how to pray, Ephesians 3, the last part, fits, that has been helpful, and this thing of praying during the day, I kind of like to ask God at the beginning of the day to tell me how to pray and who to pray for and what to pray, and that I've found helpful for myself.
Harvey, I think we'll go to you again right now. What are some distractions that you have encountered in your prayer life, and how have you overcome those, or possibly how do you overcome those?
Of course, when Jesus told us to find a prayer closet and be alone when we pray, that's no problem for me. I would say that the distractions are more the, what shall I say? It's the concerns and the worries that I have, and I think that as I can focus on, I've got in the last years that Edna lived, we got a 1 year Bible, a Bible that started at the front, and it would have a portion of the New Testament and the Old Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs. And we did that, and then about 2 years ago, I went and got me a chronological Bible that starts and takes you through the Bible in a chronological order. And I found that balance. I also read Beside the Still Waters. And I think as we focus on different parts of what God is speaking to us, and listen to what other people say, that it helps me to stay focused and keep me from. But the easiest thing is to think about the things that occupy my time, and I think it's important that we find time that we can spend and lock the other things out and focus on the Word. And I'm not saying I do this perfectly, but I make an effort at it.
Do either of you want to add anything to that?
And the last question regarding prayer. This has been touched on a little bit with what Harvey said about a prayer list that he keeps, but either Titus or Johnny, if you would want to respond to letting us know what are some recommended resources that you found helpful in aiding in prayer, whether that's a prayer book or a prayer list or anything along those lines.
I don't. Studying the prayers of Scripture is kind of where I would go with that one. The thing about the prayers of Scripture, these were inspired of God, and we can pray. It's God's will that these things take place. I mean, when we pray Scripture, we are praying in the will of God, and having that, you know, sometimes we struggle with my will. How should I pray? Well, for example, the prayer there in the last part of chapter of Ephesians, chapter 3, you know, what would my life look like if I would be able to comprehend with all saints the length and breadth and depth and height of the love of God and experience that deep down inside? But that's God's desire. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that's...
Yes, thank you. And a follow-up question. Do you find memorization helpful, or is it mostly reading Scripture and praying it as you read?
I think memorizing, I think, is one of the most effective way of studying Scripture and letting the Scripture become spontaneous.
More recently, I found a prayer list to be very helpful. If you know me, you know that my mind wanders really easily in conversation or even when I'm reading a book, or I find it very difficult to give my full attention to a lot of things. And so a prayer list can help me. It keeps something in front of my eyes. So when my mind wanders while I'm praying, I may just kind of start thinking about the person I'm praying for, and you know, next thing I'm off, you know, just thinking about something else. So for me, that helps me to keep something in front of my face that reminds me that I'm praying. With that, depending on where you're at, this can be maybe awkward or just maybe inconvenient to the people around you. But praying out loud is excellent. Is another thing I would recommend to people who struggle to, if your mind wanders easily like mine, when you're hearing yourself speak, you can kind of keep going in a little straighter line than if you're just thinking your prayers. So I think that those two things, a list, as well as praying out loud when possible, those are both helpful.
And now a question for Harvey. You are a lot older than I am, and you have left the stage of the young family stage. And so my question to you as a young father and husband is, how are ways that you have found helpful of teaching your children to pray? Are there practices that you that were a part of your daily life? Or something more general than that.
Okay. Well, I think we, as far as teaching the children to pray, we aim to, and Edna was probably better at that than what I was, but then I also had part in when the children were getting ready for bed that we would read Bible stories and try to get them to teach them to pray. And Edna especially had bedtime songs that they would sing. One of the songs that all the children that we had and the grandchildren that we took care of was the song about the lost sheep. And that's something that our children picked up and liked and loved. And so I think it's important that we spend time, and especially what we tried to do was at the time that they were getting ready to have a time of spending time with them and song and prayer and worship that way.
Move on to talking about scripture reading and memorization. And specifically, resources that we have found helpful. And I think at this time I will just actually open it up to you as a congregation. What are resources that you have found helpful for yourselves individually and for your family regarding scripture reading, scripture memorization, etc.? Should have given you some time to think. Sorry.
This sounds a little simpler than scripture reading, but I have very fond memories of hanging over my dad's shoulder or standing beside him while we read through the Picture Bible, which is Bible stories and cartoon strips. And I think at one time Glenn sold it. And I know when we were little, we would just read through it and then start again at the beginning. And I think our family wore out about two or three of those. I have fond memories of that. And personally, I have come to really appreciate what Harvey referred to with the chronological Bible. I like to read through the Bible to get the big picture. And for me, to have the prophecies mixed in with the narrative has made it a lot easier to understand the whole story. So that's been a blessing for me.
And to encourage you to, you that are younger, to take this time to memorize. It is more difficult to memorize when you're older.
So I was thinking more along the lines of what Angela was talking about when I was thinking about memorizing. But one other thing that's important to me is that not so much that I memorize the exact words of the Bible, but that I know what it says. So for me, as a narrative person, a person who gets into stories, it was really eye-opening for me when I started seeing the Bible as a story, and I started reading the stories and seeing how they all fit together. It was pretty exciting. And one of the things Karen and I are trying to do with our little family right now is tell them the stories in the Bible so that they understand it is the story of how God is working in the world, and we have a little tiny place in it. And so memorizing is part of that, certainly, but and it's a really important part of it, but what we're really looking for when we're memorizing is we're looking to know what's in the Bible. And so certainly memorizing is part of that. And it was a really important part for me, too. When I was a young man, I worked on a lawn care crew, and sitting on a lawnmower is a really boring job, and I discovered that that's a great place to memorize. If you work at it beforehand a little bit, enough that you can practice while you mow, you can get quite a bit of scripture memorized. And that was a very important part of my spiritual journey, too. But let's not lose track of the fact that we're trying to know what's in the Bible, and that's what memorization does for us. But let's not make memorization something apart from knowing what the Bible actually says. Instead of just memorizing the words, let's know the message of the Bible.
Well, this sounds very basic, but I remember growing up in our family worship, my dad just read through lots and lots of scripture, the genealogies and everything. And it was a little boring sometimes, but I think along with what Daryl was saying, I felt like just the fact that I heard the entire Bible read through, it really felt like I grew up with a pretty good idea of what the Bible said and what it was about. So as a teacher, I tend to want to look for things that are very meaningful and really say something significant. But just reading all of Scripture is a very valid and valuable use of time. I'm going to take the liberty to go back to the questions about prayer, which you did not open to us. but one of the... We talked about getting distracted. One of the things that's important to me in my prayer time is viewing it as time spent with God. And so part of the time is just listening. If you're spending time with another person, you don't want to talk all the time. So I do spend time listening, and then, of course, it's easy to get distracted. One thing that I've found helpful, and this feels a little weird to say because we don't talk about this a lot, but that's praying in tongues. And we don't do that here corporately, but Paul says that's a good thing to do personally at home. That's a way that I've found that can be helpful to stay focused even when maybe you're not saying a lot in English words.
Thank you all for those comments. And since at least I have been paying attention to the clock, even though Tim may not have, I think we will end on one last question for the brothers here. And so I will just open this up to any of you three. What are specific memories that you have of meaningful family worship times together?
I can recall it at two different stages of I guess our family's life. Once was kind of more in the morning, and once was in the evening. Especially as a youngster, I remember our family worship time as being very early. At least it felt to me, and that, so this isn't a good memory, but I do remember nodding off during prayer time. And so I don't know. That's not a great memory necessarily, but I think I'm giving those two examples. I think when I was younger, I enjoyed the evening time more, I think as I got older, maybe that morning time was maybe a little more important.
Oh, I don't know how to answer that one either. Nothing stands out particularly, but we had family devotions growing up. That was just something that we had. We'd go around the circle, everybody read two verses, and after that we'd have prayer, and everybody would have a chance to pray. And that, there was security in that. Didn't matter if there was company or not, it was just something that happened, and I appreciate that that foundation.
Thank you, brothers, for your participation and for all of you for the insights and comments that you gave. So I think we'll have one closing song, and then let's just dismiss on that song.